This is Doug Miller. The measuring of Jerusalem. What can it possibly mean? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged and delighted be back with you one more time this side of eternity with this book in hand, ready to speak and to allow the Lord to bless and honor his word, which he will do. And for those of you who are with us today to be under the sound of this word, you're about to be blessed too, because the blessing is in his word. And it will not return to him void. We are in the book of Zechariah, one of the last books of the Old Testament. And we will begin in chapter 2 today with verse 1. So bring your Bibles. Open up to Zechariah 2:1. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support of our listeners. You've heard me say it many times. You may get tired of hearing me say it, but I'm going to keep saying it anyway. Please pray for Dialogue. Write our names down and pray for us. This ministry is purely a faith ministry. It cannot go anywhere at all without the prayers of the saints. And tell others about Dialogue. You are the only advertisers we have or are going to have. And, of course, as I often say, we would always love to hear from you. Always a delight to know that our listeners are there to answer any questions you have, to help you in any way that we can. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, I'd be delighted to respond to an email and answer questions or whatever. Whatever you want to do with it. Our email address is dialogueministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's dialogueministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull down our webpage, you can do that too. That one is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And you can see a picture of me, among other things. There's more on there than that. And I'm sure you're delighted to hear that. Okay. Finally, if you want to call and talk to me, I'll be happy to talk to you. But you're going to have to leave a message and I'll get back with you. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will hear me on a recording saying, leave a message and I'll get back with you. And I really will. So if you want to call, that's fine too. Okay, let's take a look at Zechariah. Now, you are going to hear me say things that I have said before. You will, and of course, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any length of time at all, you know very well that I repeat myself from time to time. I make no apologies for that. It's just, it's the way it is. If you want to teach something, you keep repeating it. And so just live with it, or not, whatever. But I'm sure I'll be repeating some of the things I've said before. As for example, there are four apocalyptic books in the Bible. Three of them are in the Old Testament: Daniel, Ezekiel, and the one we're looking at, Zechariah. And the fourth one is the final book of the Bible, and of course the final book of the New Testament. It is Revelation. Apocalypse comes from a Greek word, apokalypsis, which means literally to take the cover away. The idea is that something is covered up, along someone comes and takes the cover off, and now you can see that which was hidden. Now, every one of these apocalyptic books, every one of them, deals with the end times. Not exclusively with the end times, but largely and to a large measure with the end times. What do I mean when I say that? I mean, surely and certainly, as surely as I am talking to you, this present age that we are living through right now will give way to another. The next age on God's time scale or whatever, the next age that we are going to move into will be an age of peace and prosperity and glory, the like of which this world has never seen. It is called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. For those of you who are out there teaching that all this is purely spiritual and needn't be taken literally, I'll pray for you. The fact is that the Bible presents this thousand-year reign very literally, and it is something that practically all of the prophets talk about. It is the age that humans, whether or not they know it, have been looking forward to throughout history. This golden age that is out there awaiting us. Most people in the world today simply aren't thinking in terms of Messiah or of God bringing this in. They think, most of them, and most of them that I know, that if we just elect the right political candidates, or if we just pass the right laws, that we indeed, and if we will just love one another and be brothers and sisters to one another and just be nice and not be mean and nasty to one another, they think that we can bring this millennial kingdom in on our own. Who needs God after all, in their thinking? Who needs Messiah after all? Those who believe this are deluding and deceiving themselves, and they almost all uniformly believe in the basic goodness of humans. Humans are basically good, they think, and therefore, because they are basically good, if you just put the right system in place, then goodness will follow. That is, of course, the very thesis and heart and core of communism and socialism of any kind. Well, that's not the way the Bible presents it. The Bible presents man as being essentially evil, flawed, ruined. If you don't believe it, go back to the very beginning and read. And as they spoke one to another in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is thy brother? And Cain said, I know not, am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord, Yahweh Elohim, said, What is this that thou hast done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the earth. And Cain went out from the presence of Yahweh Elohim and dwelt in the land of wandering on the east of Eden. And friends, from that day till the present, there has been nothing but slaughter, killing, and maiming. And it's going on right now, even as I speak. Our current president was given the Nobel Peace Prize without having even done anything for world peace. And since he was given that peace prize, he has led people into wars that have killed who knows how many. Now, friends, this is amazing. You couldn't make it up. If you put this in a book as fiction, no one would believe it, and it happens to be the truth. Do I blame our present president? Not really, any more than I blame any of the rest of us. We are a murderous bunch of creatures, And this murdering and killing is going to go on until it is stopped by Almighty God. And Almighty God, in the person of His Son Jesus Christ, will come back, and He will bring peace on this earth, and He will rule with a rod of iron. And there will be peace, but it will be an enforced peace. We have a lot of this in this book of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah, once again, we have it in the other apocalyptic books too. Zechariah is a man who, like all of the Old Testament prophets, did not keep the contemporary times separated from the far distant future. He would write, and he has written here, and we have it in chapter 2, he is writing about events that were going to occur in his lifetime, and in the same chapter, he vaults far ahead into the future and starts talking about things that are going to happen at the time of the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth to save and to establish Israel. Zechariah mixed them all up together, as did all of the Old Testament prophets. And incidentally, this is one of the reasons why there is such confusion in Israel about Messiah. Was Messiah, I mean, they have their rabbis back in the old days clearly saw two Messiahs, and even had names. One was Messiah ben David, one was Messiah ben Joseph, and they have had trouble down across the years figuring out and stating the difference between the suffering Messiah, Joseph, and the reigning ruling Messiah, David, and they have not been able to figure it out. But they see. And of course, what they haven't, most of them, been willing to face is that it's the same man, two different advents. And what we are looking at here is basically the second advent of Jesus Christ. Now, let's pick it up in Zechariah 2:1 and see what we can see. Here we have Zechariah saying, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked. Zechariah, once again, to repeat myself, is not asleep. He is not dreaming. He is seeing this, and this is a vision. And he says here, behold, a man with a measuring line. I personally believe that this man with the measuring line is, once again, a precarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I personally believe, who Zechariah is seeing here. And there are reasons for this, and I've gone into this already, but this is the man that we are going to see again and again throughout Zechariah, and we are going to have him identified as the branch. But that's off in the future. That's up in chapter 6. Let's come back to this one. Here we have this man that Zechariah sees, and he's got a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man. Now let's just stop it right there for a minute. This business of measuring, there are at least three other places in the Bible where we have a measuring going on, and I'm going to just read some of these to you. One is in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. And here is what we have. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. Look at Jeremiah now, looking down far into the distant future, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananel unto the gate of the corner. Now, how far down into the future is he looking? Well, immediately, Jeremiah is looking down 70 years. 70 years and then some, really. Because he's looking down to the time when the remnant will come back from Babylon under Nehemiah and Ezra and rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. But he is also, I am persuaded, looking down far farther than that. Let's read on here. The measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Garib, and shall compass about to Goath. All right? That's Jeremiah. We also have this one. Now, this is the measuring of the city Jerusalem. In Ezekiel, we have another measuring, and this is in Ezekiel 40. Let me read this one to you. In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel. Now, here are two men, Zechariah as well as Ezekiel. Both of them are prophesying from the captivity. Okay? Ezekiel was in the captivity. He was way off to the east over in Babylon. And he here is being brought in visions to Israel, and he set me up on a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south, and he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man. Here we have this man again, whose appearance was like the appearance of brass. Brass speaks of judgment, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither, declare all that thou seest in the house of Israel. And as it goes farther on here, he measures the millennial temple. Ezekiel measures the millennial temple. And the last part of Ezekiel, clear back from chapter 40 through 48, is about the millennial temple, a temple that is yet to be built. Hasn't been built yet. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this in a minute. Now let's go on and look at this other measuring that we have. And this one is in Revelation chapter 11. Here we have John. There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now listen to me carefully, friends. There have been two temples built in the past, and there are yet two temples to be built. Did you get that? I profoundly hope that I am not confusing anyone out there. There have been two temples built in the past. One was Solomon's temple, and the other one is the temple that was built by Ezra, and Zechariah was in on that one. And that is the one that stood until 70 A.D. Both temples have been destroyed, and as most of you out there probably know, today on the Temple Mount stands the mosque, the Golden Dome, and the Mosque of Omar, and there is no Jewish presence there. But there are two temples that will yet be built. I want you to listen to this. What I am telling you is the truth. They have not been built yet, but they're going to be. One of them is the temple that is being talked about and measured in Revelation. Revelation 11. This is the temple that will be built by the Antichrist. It is the temple that will be defiled by the Antichrist. It will be built during the Great Tribulation, which will precede the glorious millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other temple that is yet to be built, because that temple, the temple of Antichrist, is going to be destroyed. And the fourth and final temple will be the temple built by Messiah. And Jeremiah talks about this. We haven't gotten there yet, once again, but we will. The temple that Messiah will build. And that is the temple that Ezekiel is talking about. Now, what about Zechariah? Zechariah is talking about not the temple, but Jerusalem. And let's go and we're about out of time here. Takes a long time to get through this thing, doesn't it? Oh, well, we've got all the time in the world. In Zechariah 2, we have Zechariah talking about the measuring of the city of Jerusalem. Now, when God measures a thing, he is getting ready to do something with that thing. It may be, and frequently is, judgment, but not always. In the case of Zechariah, we have this. Speak to this young man, we saw in verse 4. And who is the young man? Well, the young man, I think, is Zechariah. And this angel is sent to him to reveal something to him. And what is he going to reveal? Here it is. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Now, let's stop it right there for a minute and think. A town without walls? The Jerusalem that Zechariah knew and was a part of, and the Jerusalem that was built when the Jews came back from Babylon under Nehemiah and Ezra, was not a town without walls. If you've ever read the book of Nehemiah, you understand that one of the first things they did was build the wall. The wall was a protection. And the wall was a protection that was needed in those days. And to live within the city walls was to be a place of safety and to be in a place where there was no particular danger. And the worst place to be in those days, particularly after dark, was outside the city walls where everything bad was. All of the criminals were out there. And, of course, that's where the executions took place, wasn't it? That's where the sacrifices, the sin offering was burnt to ashes, was outside the walls in an unclean place. And that is where our Lord Jesus Christ went forth to be crucified. Outside the walls where there was no safety and where all of the religious people wouldn't go and wouldn't defile themselves. But now look, this is an interesting statement, and we're going to have to take it up next time because we won't have time to get into it now. In this statement, it is very clear that the revelation that's given to Zechariah is looking far, far ahead. Not to the city that Zechariah will inhabit when he comes back with the captives to Jerusalem, but to another Jerusalem built in the same area, but far down across the ages, far off into the future. It is the Jerusalem that we are looking at today, a city without walls. And yet, maybe it's not the city we're looking at today. But we won't have time for that right now. We're going to have to stop. You come back next time. This is important. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.